Thank you. Good morning. My name is Brad Cook, and I'm a proud badger of Snow College. And you may, I don't know how much you know about Snow, but it's one of the oldest institutions of higher education in this state. And it has been an important tool in your arsenal for rural education. I've been here since May, and it's been a terrific honor, really an honor of a lifetime. This story today is an analysis that really is a good news, bad news, good news kind of analysis today. Let me start with the good news. The good news is that Snow College, no one in our kind of institutional category does it better in the country. So recently, the Chronicle of Higher Education, which you may or may not know, is really the premier education sort of publication, ranked Snow College as number one for student success. And what that means for the Chronicle of Higher Education is 85% of our students who come through our doors graduate or successfully transfer. And that is remarkable. And I want you to kind of just dwell on that for a second, because when it comes to performance-based funding, what Snow College has done in terms of performance, no one has done better for our category of institution. And I think that has nothing to do with presidents. That has everything to do with faculty and staff that care about students. And so this is really something that the state ought to be really very proud of. But I wanted to tell you a little bit about the bad news. And it's not all bad news, but I want to tell you a little bit about who we are and our history. What you see here is a declining enrollment for the last 3 years. Now, that's a complicated answer to this, but you think about how good the economy has been, the influence of the BYU-Idaho Pathways program, and I think a very sort of subpar enrollment strategy by Snow College can explain that. And this will turn around. This will be the lowest that you'll see Snow College, and I'm hoping that that I can paint a picture as to why that will be. So this is some bad news. So I don't know whether you know who we serve, though. We actually serve a 6-county region, but as the commissioner was saying, is that 93% of our students are traditional. That's good news and bad news, and I'll talk about that in a bit. But almost half of our students are from our service region, and they're from our 6 counties, with 2 campuses in Ephraim and in Richfield, with a correctional facility, a prison in Gunnison, an 1,800 inmate prison, which I'd like to talk about as well. Traditional 2-year colleges, especially rural colleges, are among the most vulnerable colleges in the country. And this is a great read, by the way, if you get a chance, but it really is the first and most comprehensive study when it looks at the forecasting of higher education across the country in multiple ways. But I wanted to just point out a couple of points that Graw points out, is that the primary challenge for 2-year institutions in the next 15 years is dramatically reduced enrollments. Indeed, the expected rate of contraction in 2-year enrollments is 20% faster than the college enrollments in general. Now, the good news for us in Utah is enrollment is still strong. So most of this is a national data set, but it is coming. The same demographic pressures that are hitting the Midwest and the Northeast will come to Utah eventually. So here's the good news, though. So with changes of revenue and cost models, then we need to be able to find and increase attendance rates. And we do this by 2 ways. One is reaching beyond traditional students. That 18 to 21-year-old student, we've got to continue to serve them well, but we also have to reach beyond that because there is a market there. And then by increasing attendance rates with the traditional student population. So this is, I think, worth noting. This is our 6 counties. And that orange line, and this is over the next 20 years. What you'll see in terms of traditional age students, right, the primary student body that we serve will only grow by 8% over the next 20 years. And in fact, there will be a decline. This will essentially, this is something that you need to pay attention to, I think, as gatekeepers, that the traditional age students, even in Utah, will plateau and eventually decline over time. This hits our service region in a much more dramatic way earlier. So you can see that by about 2027, you'll start to see a decline in our region, in our service region, on traditional 18 to 24-year-olds. But what should be of note is the 24 to 40-year-olds, right, and the 45 to 60-year-olds, these are also students that need an education. And one of the things that Western Governors has been so successful at is finding ways in which non-traditional students have been able to get an education but have not had the opportunity to try to drive to Richfield or to drive to Ephraim, and we need to find a way in which we can reach those students as well. So here's some bad news in terms of a rural Utah, and this isn't just limited to our six counties. Even this is the six counties that we pay attention to the most. The percent of people living in poverty in our region is 13% as opposed to the state average. And if you look at some of these counties that we serve, Paiute and Wayne and San Pete, it's even higher. Utah has been an incredible economic success since 2008, but it hides and masks the fact that it has not been good for everybody. And the rural populations have not had the same sort of benefit. And we're starting to see a real problem be created between an urban and rural divide. The per capita income for our six counties is $19,000 versus the state average of $25,000. And you can see where, in some cases, in Sevier County and Wayne County, that is, in San Pete County and in Paiute County, it's even less. The children in intergenerational poverty is much higher in our six counties than in the state on an average. Our unemployment rates are higher, even in a very good economy. Our suicide rates in rural Utah is something we cannot take, I think, we cannot sort of understate here. It is different. And look at some of these counties, as much as 30 people per 100,000 are taking their life, and that's often a result of opioid use as well as unemployment and other sort of pressures relative to rural communities. What is developing here is a wicked problem, and not wicked in terms of evil, right, but wicked in terms of big and complicated and multidimensional and interrelational. And so the things that we need to completely sort of think about when it comes to education as a tool in your arsenal, we have to think about how do we address a lot of these things relative to brain drain, relative to participation rates to higher education, and to fill these work gaps, right? The work gaps, the skilled work fill is always a problem, especially when you're trying to provide economic development and create jobs, when there's a misalignment, a fundamental misalignment between education and the local economy. Rural mental health. Rural health, in terms of again the opioid crisis, as well as the as obesity and diabetes, rural education. Think about this: if you're a rural superintendent, it is difficult to get rural teachers. It's difficult to retain rural teachers. If I'm a rural administrator of hospital, to be able to get nurses to come to those hospitals and then retain nurses, and without those fundamental infrastructural kind of positions, these communities will continue to sort of founder. Now, I think that there has been a fundamentally mistake that was made by Snow College. And I don't blame Snow College, and I don't even blame, there's no one to blame here. But if you take, for example, you know, what a community college does, there really are two things that community college do, if nothing else. There's an academic track, right? That's where degrees come in, that's where credits come in, that's where transfer comes in, general education. But there's another side here that is an applied technology center, and that we have not done. We are, by default, Central Utah's applied technology center, but have not acted like it. When Snow College and the Sevier Valley Applied Technology Center merged in the late 90s, look at the drop in enrollment. Now, you might ask, why? Well, I asked that question, and I asked that question to our superintendents, and we have a great K-16 alliance with our superintendents. And they said, President Cook, do you realize that 70% of our high school students, 70% in some of our districts, do not see themselves as college goers? They do not see themselves getting a college degree. They do see themselves maybe of getting a diesel mechanics degree. They do see themselves possibly as a welder. They do see themselves as an automotive tech. And you can see we essentially bifurcated and essentially I worry about the types of students that we essentially have not been able to serve, because we have essentially pushed kids through the credit hole, right? We've pushed them through the degree hole. And this I think we really need to sort of create. This is why I'm really sort of glad that we are thinking as a system to combine the two systems. And I really want to tell you how much I appreciate Commissioner Wolstenholme in his ability to concentrate the mind on the possibilities that of what technical education and higher education could do together as opposed to apart. So what this graphic here is what we're essentially proposing, that essentially what you see here, what Snow College does is, again, that academic education. And remember, no one does it better. And that's not hyperbole. No one does it better in our category than that academic education for our type of institution. But what we haven't done is what's on the left, the applied and technical education. We have essentially not provided the competency-based non-credit. In other words, I really applaud what our applied technology colleagues have done. We should be doing that very same thing for Central Utah. Because otherwise, to get those kind of programs, they're going to have to travel to Cedar City, to Southwest Tech, which is a great place, by the way, or travel up to Mountainlands, which is a great place also. But it keeps it out of reach for kids in our central part of the state. So here's, I want to give you an example of what the cost difference is between some kid going to Snow College to get a degree, the same program. So at Snow College, if a kid wants to get a welding technology, they have to get an associate's degree. We don't offer a certificate, which means that 63 credits, that person pays $7,200 for that welding technology. It's a 4-semester program. But if they were able to go and were lucky enough to go to Mountainlands, they could do a 900-hour welding technology certificate for half the price. So look at computer information systems, the same sort of thing, that essentially this is even more dramatic, right? We only offer at Snow College a computer information systems AAS, which costs $7,200, where they could go up to Mountainlands and get a $1,600 computer information systems, and the employability is almost the same. Now, that doesn't mean we want students not to continue on and take a degree, but this is where stackable credits and micro-credentialing matters. When I talk to our kids in Sevier County that don't see themselves in getting a degree, but do see themselves of getting a welding degree, some of those students, and I'm telling you, some of those students, once they get confidence that they can do a welding certificate, will say, you know what, maybe I'm smart enough that I can go on and get a degree. But what we want is the system to talk to each other. These articulation crosswalks are really critical. So if a person decides they want to take an IT certificate, but later they want to do an associate's applied science degree, that they do not lose time, right? That essentially can be transitioned into, and this is possible, it's being done. At Southern Utah University and Southwood Tech, they have done it. We can do it, especially if it's under the same umbrella. Here are the six sector needs in the six counties that we did a study in late November with the Department of Workforce Services. So allied health, everything from lobotomy to billing and coding to lab tech, all of these types of programs that don't require a degree for a good job. We are not doing these, and we should be doing these. So what we're asking is for a 600, and this is in the commissioner's budget as a part of our CTE ask, but that CTE tuition offset, what that means is that we're able to reduce the cost then for those non-credit short-term tech programs, right, that they would be able to pay if they were able to go to a tech college somewhere else. Here are some of the new programs that we would bring in, and some of the possible expansion programs that we would. We do not, and this is embarrassing to say, we do not have a full-time CTE director at Snow College. We have a half-time. That has to be fixed because there's so many more students that have to be served. All right, so I want us to talk about not only getting to high school kids, but about other kinds of underrepresented populations, especially our prison population.
President, we had a question.
Yeah.
Representative Shipp.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Not really a question. I just want to really applaud you on this technical college side of things. I know some people, because I grew up in Sevier County, where the tech was, and when I was in high school, a lot of the high school kids went over to the tech for welding and automotive and so on. And there was quite an outcry at the time this all happened, when they more or less removed the technical programs in the county. And I think that's been a big void that we've had in central Utah because of just what you have laid out, President Cook. And so my hat's off to you to try and bring this back, because it's really needed and it'll really help the economy and the people in that area. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Shipp.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, go ahead.
So when we think about how do we help students who are underrepresented and who cannot get a traditional higher education. Remember, we are 93% of our students are traditional students. That's 18 to 21, 18 to 24. And what we know is that a lot of students, a lot of working adults, a lot of professionals that are place-bound that cannot go to a campus, how do we reach them? And that's what we're sort of talking about on this left side of the chart here. So in the middle, that's what we do well. And no one does it better. Did I tell you that we're the number one? Did I say that? Did I mention that? Just want to make sure that's covered. That's what we're going to do and continue to do well. But there are other people who need the benefit of a higher education. And this is where it comes in terms of technology. What we're wanting to design, and we've talked to our Utah State colleagues and Salt Lake Community College, but they're also working on a competency-based education online program. But this is what we want to do, because this is going to really matter, I think, to a lot of populations. But essentially, we want to be a national leader in providing accessible, affordable, and flexible education for rural and underserved populations. The characteristics are online, competency-based, low-cost, scalable. This is really key. It needs to be scalable, stackable, self-paced, transferable, industry-aligned, and an emphasis on prior learning assessment. So you get people who come in with professional experiences. We want to find a way in which they can get college credit. But here are our audiences that we're really looking at: working learners, place-bound adults, homeschoolers. And incidentally, we're partnering with MyTech High, which is the largest online high school. And we actually have the CEO in our audience today with Matt Bowman. 8,000 students are on MyTech High, and they primarily are able to meet with and meet the needs for homeschooling students. By the way, did you know there are 20,000 homeschoolers in the state? How do we get those students into our system? And we think that with education, we can do that. Prison education. Now, I wish that Senator Henderson was here. Because with President Huftalen at Salt Lake, we have been talking about and wringing our hands over this for quite a while. And in our district, as you know, the Central Utah Correctional Facilities, there's 1,800 inmates. Snow College only serves 40 inmates. And it's primarily because we offer only two programs, culinary arts and construction management, and it's space constrained, right? You can only get so many inmates in a kitchen. You only get so many inmates into a lab. But think about what we can do with technology and with tablets. So what we're working on together is finding tablet technology where these inmates can use their time in their cells to get an education. Can you imagine how soul-crushing it would be to serve your time and not feel like you are making progress in your life? 7 out of 10 of those inmates will be back in. The recidivism rate is high, and we shouldn't be surprised. Because they came in with low skills, they didn't, and they have a felony on their record, and they don't have skills when they leave, no wonder they come back in. And depending on the study, for every dollar that's invested in prison education is a $15 to $17 if social cost savings. This is good for our state. And the fact that we can try and get those prisoners rehabbed, and I can't tell you, having spoken to those prisoners, how they almost mobbed me in saying, what else can you do for us in education? And so we've got to pay attention to that. A lot of our students, though, their choice is Snow College or no college. That's the choice. Snow College or no college. And we want to be able to get to them.
President, we have another question or comment.
Yeah.
I have a close relative who's been in and out of prison for 30 years, currently in Gunnison. And when I viewed their facility, the directors are begging for it. The inmates are begging for it. They want something to do. They want to work. And they want to get skills. They do a great job in Gunnison doing high school diplomas. But if you have that, they want more. And so I also would love to connect you with Microsoft, who's been working with the Power Innovations in American Fork. But they have their old computers and tablets that are about a year old that they are looking for places that they would like to use them. But I would love to have you work with private companies to partner with Gunnison, so it's not just state dollars to expand the Gunnison facility for the tech certificates and education that can go on there, and to provide more, because I think the number, when I was there, it could have been changed, but there were like 7 inmates who could do culinary.
It's small.
So please help us to prevent recidivism, because if they can leave with some skills, it gives them so much more confidence, but an opportunity that otherwise they won't have.
And technology is the answer. Now, I know they have to be firewalled off to the internet, but the intranet weekend is Canvas compatible, and there's no reason they can't be working on that in their cell. And I really want to set this up for my colleague, President Hufteland, who will talk more about, especially the Draper facility.
Thank you.
So I'm almost finished, but I want to show, here's what we currently are. And I'm telling you, we're good. We are really good. But we're primarily serving high school students with a fairly strong concurrent enrollment. And you'll hear more about concurrent enrollment next Tuesday. But here's where we need to be, right? So we are a junior college right now, and we serve primarily high schools. What we need to be is a comprehensive community college with an explicit focus on rural needs or those underserved populations that are in our state. We've got to turn those demographics around. These communities are dying, literally, and they need an opportunity. So in terms of our Snow Online efforts, our CTE programs, but our 4-year degree university partnerships, there's no reason Snow College has to offer 4-year degrees. We can partner successfully with institutions around the state that can offer it with us. Here are some existing collaborations that I think are worth note, but we can do so much more. I don't want to spend time on this unless you want to, but we really think, for example, think about nursing. Talking to administrators, hospital administrators in the rural part of the state, to get a 4-year nurse is very difficult. Now, we don't have to offer a 4-year nursing program, but somebody better, because those hospitals need it, and we can help administer it. Our idea is a 3+1, where the third year, they come to Snow College for 2 years, we would then, let's say, in terms of maybe Utah Valley's nursing program, we would offer that Utah Valley nursing program that third year, and offering the Snow College price. This keeps that 4-year degree affordable, with the option then for that student to transfer to Utah Valley to that nursing program in Orem. Those are the ideas that we're exploring. I'm very happy that my fellow presidents are looking at this so that we can expand and extend the reach of an education. Everything from a certificate all the way to a 4-year degree. Again, we don't have to at Snow College offer the 4-year degree ourselves, but we do have to have a coherent and, I think, stable 3+1 or something like that. Here's intent efficiencies. So I'm going to end there and just and see if there are any questions that you might have. But here's what I wanted to have, is that we really do need to reimagine Snow College. And the good news is we don't have to change its fundamental bones, because it's good. But what we do need is we need to open up our aperture. We need to open up our arms to a greater range of students who need us. And it's really the working learners that are the most vulnerable in our community. And we need to find a way in which we can reach them too. Thank you.